Dreams can come true. Look at me, babe. I'm with you. You know you've got to have them. You know you've got to be strong. Hi, welcome to the Bitter End Podcast with me, Tom Denny.
I am floored by that beautiful reading.
I mean, that was a song by a little reading from Gabrielle, eye patch wearing 90s R&B sensation with a song that she, little known fact, that was written about Nightmare on Elm Street Part 4. She was a big fan.
And I'm Todd Jordan.
Yeah. Yes, you are.
And we are here to talk about the Dream Master. No, not Gabrielle.
Although she does come a close second.
But Freddy Krueger himself in his fourth outing in the stripy red jumper and the big floppy hat. Mm. Yes, it is Friday the 13th, part 4, The Dream Master. Welcome to the bitter end.
Yeah, for the uninitiated, where have you been? Welcome. Come on in. Take off your shoes. It's that kind of a house. We are, just to let you know what me and Todd are up to here, we get a franchise with a lot of films and we watch every fucking one to see what the fuck it's all about.
We just bust through it, man. We just bust through.
Because then we can be like, hey, yeah, we did it all. We did it all. And we can tell you guys at home what's good, what's bad, what don't make no sense, and what we should just probably have never spoken about in the first place.
Let us never speak of it again.
We do not speak of the Howling Seven. It does not exist.
So, okay, straight off the bat, I've got something I need to disclose.
Drop that bomb.
I'm dropping the bomb. Guys, I've had a bad day. I've had a tough day. I've had a difficult day. So I am going to be approaching this podcast as a bit of therapy.
Okay.
Today. So what's going to be happening is, right now, you're hearing me making the most sense I'm going to make. After this break, me and Tom are going to go off. We're going to watch Nightmare on Elm Street 4, The Dream Master. During the film, I have decided that every time anyone says the words Freddy or Dream, I'm going to take a massive drink of something boozy.
Okay, that can work. I'm happy to facilitate that for you.
Thank you very much. So we will see how much sense I make upon return.
Okay, all right.
Because this has to happen, Tom.
Okay, well, let's work through some things. It's going to be okay. I don't want this manifesting in a spooky dream. I'd rather you get it all out now.
Well, it looks like there is going to be a little bit of spooky material happening from what we've seen in the trailer.
Yeah.
What's your take on this particular trailer?
So, I don't know. Like, the beginning of the trailer is setting up kind of like, I don't know when did this come out?
Well, I can tell you, it came out 1 year after part three.
Okay.
Cause Dream Warriors was 1987. Dream Master is 1988.
Because the way this trailer is setting it up, it seems like it's kind of being like, Freddy's been away for a long time. It's like, when was the last time you were really scared or felt terror? And it's kind of like, about 11 months ago, I guess. But, you know, you got your standard Freddy Elm Street biz. You've got, like, there's a spooky girl, like a small child in there who probably won't feature in the film very much. We've got, like, a teen walking around in a nightgown. We've got people having some nightmares. But there are some elements in here that look a little bit silly. But then there's some other bits that look kind of cool. There's a bit going down some sort of like spiral into hell made out of lots of lost souls and flesh.
That bit looks dope.
And then you get the bit where Freddy's glove is basically like the Jaws shark fin going through the water. And then it goes through the sand. And then you get a shot of Freddy Krueger wearing sunglasses. So,
cowabunga!
I don't think I'm sure he says something in the trailer, but you really want to be like radical or something.
Yes, it does look a little bit like it might be that. So Wesley Cray Cray, big Wes Craven, isn't in the director's chair. I don't know if he's writing, but I'll tell you who is in the director's chair.
Tom. Okay, tell me.
It's a little lad by the name of Rennie Harlin.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Rennie Harlin... It doesn't ring a bell, but it should do, Tom.
Okay.
Nothing Bitter End related, but it does. He has helmed a movie that I know you quite like.
Okay.
It's a sequel. He made a little film called Die Hard 2.
Oh! that gives me like a bit of kind of like, let's do it.
Well, on the subject of foolish hope, would you like to take a guess at the IMDb score as voted by the users of imdb.com, how history has looked upon Nightmare on Elm Street 4, The Dream Master?
What was the score of the last one?
So Dream Warriors got a nicely round 6.6.
I really enjoyed that film.
That was good, wasn't it?
Hello. I'm concerned about the sunglasses. I don't think that the internet will have reflected on that very kindly. So I'm going to say 4.5.
Nah, man, everything's going to be all right.
Oh, thank God.
It's a 5.7.
Oh, that's fine.
That's totally fine, isn't it?
That's still over the line. That's over the five mark.
It's
that's
a day at the beach.
Quite. Yep, I like that. I like what you did there.
Shall we go watch it?
Surf's up, baby.
Cowabunga!
So how you feeling, buddy? I know you were feeling perplexed, vexed, stressed before this film. Has it soothed the savage beast, or has it poked you in the eye with a stick?
It's all right, baby!
I feel fine.
He's doing all right,
I'm
folks.
I'm doing all right. Do you want to know how many times they said the word Freddy?
Yeah.
They said the word Freddy 22 times.
Yeah.
Do you want to know how many times they said the word dream?
How many?
Well, my tallies kind of lose count a bit because I was trying to keep a tally and apparently the first tally block is like 5 and then there's 6 and then there's 4 with a line through and then 3 with a line through and then just 3. So I'm going to call it a bunch.
It's a whole big old bunch.
I'm all right, baby.
He's all good. He's all good, folks. He's bounced back. He's bounced back.
The movie? Not so all right.
I don't think that it wasn't a bounce back from part 3, because how do you follow a tour de force like the Dream Warriors?
They had to go, buddy. They had to go because they've got the same characters.
They've got the same characters. Not all the returning cast.
We don't have Arquette Prime.
Yeah, okay, so... Yeah, there's like the survivors from the last movie are in there.
Where'd she go, Tom?
Well, apparently, what were you saying, Tom? That she said that she couldn't reprise her role because she was having a baby.
So,
but then the baby gestated for about 20 months.
Yeah.
So I just don't think she fancied it. And she was like, it's still in there. It's the darndest thing. That's what Patricia Arquette sounds like.
She likes them well done.
Yeah. You don't want to muck it up, do you?
Not an Arquette baby. That's not like a regular baby.
A Nightmare on Elm Street film, you might want to muck up. Well, I don't think it's a bad film. It's just kind of like...
How does it compare in your mind to Die Hard 2?
I prefer Die Hard 2.
What about the other of this director's work that we discovered, Cliffhanger?
Yeah, I think I prefer Cliffhanger as well. That's got fucking John Lithgow in it.
Yeah.
John Lithgow having a fight with Sylvester Stallone. The most improbable fight you will ever see.
John Lithgow is not really a physical actor, is he?
Well, I mean, he's certainly physical. He definitely hams it up a lot. I mean, Third Rock from the Sun, he is...
chewing on a hammer.
He is chewing everything. This film, I mean, there obviously are some hammy... moments from our good friend Robert England, Bobby UK, the Bobster. He is proper naughty. They're a bit silly, a little bit silly in places. This film, there's some weird stuff where there's bits where I'm like, well, this is a bit dumb. And then it'll just suddenly throw in some really cool, dark, horrific imagery where you suddenly go, oh, okay, no, the gloves are off here. And then it'll do something silly again. And then it'll do something boring. And then it'll do something mental. And then it'll be boring again. You know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean, Tom. This is my film critic voice. What do you think? Is it any good?
It's good. I think you could be the new host for Film 2017.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean, Tom.
Okay, yeah, good. Okay, this is going to be a one-sided show, I feel.
No way, bro. No way, because totally it's not my fault that they kept saying Freddy and Dreams, all right?
You knew what you were getting into. So...
I'm filled with regret. Let's start at the very beginning, Tom. So, as we have established, we've got a returning character, which is Kristen.
Yes.
Patricia Arquette's character from The Dream Warriors.
No longer played by Patty Arquette.
She went off to go have a baby that didn't exist.
She is now, the character is now played by Tuesday Knight with a K. What an awesome name. She is a... To me, I didn't even know she existed, so definitely forgotten 80s pop star. But she's still releasing music.
We just checked out some of her stuff on the internet that was released this year.
Yeah.
And it is melodic.
Certainly. So she's in it as Kristen. She's out of the mental hospital. She's gone back to school. Her mates, the survivors from Dream Warriors. So you've got
Kincaid and Joey.
So Kincaid was the tough guy, and Joey was the guy who couldn't talk, and then he learned how to talk. And they're played by the actors from the same from last time.
Yeah, they stayed on.
Good for them.
Good for them.
Good
right?
for well, maybe not so much.
Well, they don't last long.
Yeah, spoilers, folks. They die fairly early on in the proceedings. But we kick off with it's your standard Elm Street fare. There's a spooky house. There's a spooky little girl.
Same spooky little girl, by the way,
from the last film. Yeah,
the exact same girl.
And Kristen shows them, like, whose house is this? And she's like, Freddy's lives here. Todd has a drink. She goes and then like she's drawing. Like a chalk drawing of the house on the floor, and then she's drawn a little chalk Freddy Krueger in the house, and then Kristen looks at it and goes, oh no, and suddenly everything goes dark, it starts pissing down with rain, there's thunder and lightning, and she goes in the spooky house, and so 2 minutes in, you go like, do you think it's a dream? Do you think she's having a spooky dream? Oh, there's lots of chains hanging from it. I think it might be a spooky dream. Like, it doesn't really...
Well, hold on, Ton, let's see how this pans out.
It's not got the what happened. Yeah, she kind of wanders around a spooky house, and it doesn't have the, it doesn't bring you in gently like other films. It's, I feel like it's they know that the audience knows, so they're just kind of like a bit like, oh, we all know it's a fucking dream. Just get some spooky shit going on.
I can get on board with that. I can get on board with not wasting my time and yours, right? So. She wanders in and it's all spooky and she goes, it's a bit of a dream, you know, nothing is quite as it seems. And so she like stands up and she goes, Kincaid, Joey, yeah. She calls her two mates, and then we cut away and they are asleep in their beds. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And like Kincaid flies backwards across the room through the wall and they get pulled in. So
she calls them into her dream to like help her out.
But Freddy's not there.
No.
And they're like, he's not here, mate. Chill out. We killed him, remember? Like, Dream Warriors. Dream Warrior. It's all good.
And then Kincaid's got this dog, this really cute black and white dog.
Oh, yes.
Called Jason.
Sick reference.
Which I like to think is a sick reference.
Foreshadowing.
Jason Donovan, right?
Yeah, he was big back then.
And he, Jason the dog... goes mental and starts like chewing on Kristen's arm, like, and then we see him and he's like covered in blood, and I wrote down blood dog.
Yeah, and I also thought it was weird because obviously Kristen in the last film had the power to pull other people into her dreams. I didn't realize she could pull dogs into dreams. That's an odd new little twist on the power.
She'd have pulled in like every dog and just like swamped Freddy Krueger in puppies.
Yeah, that would have been good. Okay, so then we go to school and we get introduced to the other characters at a dizzying rate. It's still very slashery in the kind of like, oh God, there's a lot of characters. Do I have to remember who all these people are? No, I don't really need to worry. They all have very clearly defined character traits.
You want to run them down for us, Tommy?
So we have got Rick, who is a kung fu pop punk boyfriend for Kristen. He She just looks like... he looks like a role that Bill Paxton would not touch with a shitty stick. And we've got his sister and Kristen's best mate, Alice, who is kind of... She's a bit of a... Bit of a sad sack, really.
Bit of a wallflower.
Bit of a wallflower. And Rick and Alice have drunk dad. They've got a dad who has some hard liquor in his hand at any given time because he is not dealing well with their mum dying. It's not really touched on in the film. He's just drunk. And then we get some other mates. We've got Dan, who's a jock. But he's a jock with like a heart of gold. He's not like a kind of, you know, one of those kind of like bullying, misogynistic-y kind of jocks you get in these movies. He's a tender jock.
And Alice, the quiet girl, is in love with Dan.
She's in love with Dan. She has a daydream about you know, getting it on with Dan. We've got Debbie, the cool girl with hair two times the size of her body. She wears spiky leather things, and apparently she's really into sort of getting buff so she can fight off, like, night stalkers and stuff. She's into, you know, being self-reliant.
She's quite exhausting, this character, actually. She's not bad, but just, like, she's very non-stop.
Yeah. Luckily, there's not a lot of her in the film. And then we have Dork Girl. I am not sure what her name was, but my God, was she dorky. And she was my favourite character in this film. She was... just like a really good 80s nerd girl.
I loved Dork Girl. Mm. Yeah, she's got like pigtails, dungarees, like bottle top, like glasses, Coke bottle glasses. You
yeah,
know?
It's but just shy of that kind of like really grotesque Saved by the Bell nerd kind of stare. You know, like it's not.
She wasn't Screech.
She wasn't Screech. It wasn't Revenge of the Nerds. She was still kind of like, she's a dork, but hey guys, she's still kind of hot or something. You know, like it was, they were still made her seem sort of, don't know, like she would be mates with this other ragtag bunch of weirdos.
It was plausible, wasn't it?
It was plausible. And that's our new cast of characters. And then...
they just kind of bimble about, yeah, right? They just kind of potter about.
There's a lot of faffing.
They bump off each other. The music is so, like, compared to fucking Dokken that we had in the last movie, the music in this one, I'm sorry, it's provided by Tuesday Night, our lead actress. It's just some weak sauce.
It's not or like
dream warriors.
Yeah, like wailing metal.
Don't wanna dream no more. It's not that. It's just like me.
So some shit happens. Alice is having bad dreams. She has a chat with Kristen about this, and she's kind of like, "Hey, you're carrying the same. Was it like, oh, you've got the same luggage as me?" And she's like, "What? These bags under your eyes," at which point I'm like, that is not an expression. That is rubbish. So you're getting, like all these films, like, oh, the kids are starting to have bad dreams. I wonder if something bad's going to happen. Then cut to Kincaid he's going to go to bed, but before he goes to bed, he doubles down on sports. That's what he does. He's a sporty guy. He sits there in bed with a baseball catcher's mitt in one hand while throwing darts at his dartboard in the other.
Dude likes sports.
And then he falls asleep and he wakes up in the junkyard from part three, where they found and buried Freddy's bones.
Ooh.
And he's kind of like, oh, this isn't my dream world. What's going on? Like, and then he just kind of tries... His dog's there as
Jason
well.
Jason
the dog is there. And Jason's what does Jason do?
Jason's a very cute dog, but Jason starts growling at Kincaid, like getting really aggressive, like...
Jason the dog growls at Kincaid, cocks his leg, does a wee, but he pisses fire, which then shoots along the ground, and then the ground opens up, and then you find Freddy Krueger's bones, which reset into place, and then the flesh from Freddy's bone, like, comes back over Freddy's bones, and he pops back out. Flaming dog piss.
Rebirthed from a dog dick.
I don't understand that. Like, the lore is... I'm glad we're not doing Rules Corner on this series, because... Ooh, I don't know how you explain that. That was...
Flaming dog piss brings the big un back from the dead.
So Bobby UK's back. He kills Kincaid. He kind of, like, traps Kincaid in all these cars in the junkyard, at which point Kincaid looks up to the sky and goes, "Freddy's back! Freddy's back! Freddy's back! Freddy's back!" At which point, my good buddy Mr. Todd Jordan has to drink a load of fucking beers.
Oh.
Freddy's back.
Ah. Oh.
And then you're kind of like, oh, okay, cool. I guess Freddy's back. And then we cut to Joey, the kid from the last movie who couldn't talk.
He can talk now, by the way, because he shouted, "No!"
And he's got, he's like chilling out, like all people do in Elm Street films, on his waterbed, watching MTV with big headphones on. And like eyeing up this kind of like softcore porn poster that he's got in his room. And
it's just like a girl in a bikini or something, yeah.
And then he turns right, he like, feels something weird, and he looks at his waterbed, and in the water of his waterbed, which is a transparent waterbed, which seems weird, is the naked girl from his poster.
He looks up at the poster, and she's like gone from the poster. It's just the blanket she was lying on.
I've got to say, it's a really cool shot, just because you're kind of like, did they have to kill that girl to get that shot?
It's
a really, like, it's very creepy.
It's weird because, yeah, she's like, she's completely in this waterbed. She's totally underwater, and she's like trapped under the plastic. So if you saw anyone in that situation in real life, you would be like, fucking rip that thing open, because that person is going to die. They're going to suffocate and drown very, very quickly.
Yeah, I'd love to have seen what the construction of that was like on the set. But then turns out he doesn't have a naked girl about to die in his waterbed. It's big Freddy Krueger, and the Krugernator comes out and kills him. Goodbye, original cast. Bobby UK will be he's determined to be the only returning cast member in any of these films. He's just got to kill him.
It's kind of a cool bit because he, like, bursts out. He's all wet. He doesn't have his hat on.
Yeah. He comes out and says, "How's this for a wet dream?"
Zing!
Zing! He's still quite zingy in this movie, isn't he?
Yeah, we'll deal with the quipometer a bit later, I suppose. But
yeah, and then Kirsten freaks out because, obviously, Kincaid and Joey have been killed. And she has this conversation with Alice. And Alice, it seems like she knows a lot about dreams. And because it seems like she daydreams a lot or something like that. And she's got a miserable life. So she just lives through dreams because her reality with drunk dad and douchebag karate brother is kind of lame. And then Kirsten's like, "You know a lot about dreams, don't you?" And she's like, "Yeah, haven't you ever heard of the Dream Master? It's a rhyme that lets you take control of your dreams. And if you're in a happy place, then everything's fine." And Kirsten thinks like, that sounds like it could be useful for me. But I'm not going to follow up and ask what any of that means.
We never hear the rhyme, do we?
No, we do hear the rhyme right at the end of the film. But there's been no context for it other than someone saying, "There's this magic rhyme, yeah?" And then it appears once in the finale of the film. You go, oh, I assume that's the rhyme that they've been talking about all of once. The concept of the Dream Master is very loose.
Very, very loose. Okay, so we're planting seeds.
They're planting seeds. Mm. Kirsten goes to school.
Yes.
Kincaid and Joey. They're not in class.
No, because they are dead.
They're dead. They could have just been late. But she's like, no, they're dead.
They're dead.
And she bonks herself on the head.
Yeah, she falls over in shock and goes, "Ah, I've done a bonk."
Wakes up in the nurse's office. Who's in that nurse's office?
Well, there's this funny-looking nurse, Tom. She's, do tell.
She's funny looking and you can't quite put your finger, and you're kind of, is that a bloke? Is that maybe Bobby UK, Robert England, the Kruganator in drag?
It takes about a third of a second to go, that's Bobby UK in a wig and a dress.
And this is when you kind of go, it's getting maybe, I mean, it's not played for laughs, but it is silly to look at. You know what I mean? Like, he doesn't do an awful lot. He doesn't, like, sort of, I don't know, like, curtsy or tiptoe around or, like, act in, like, an overly, like, comically, like, effeminate kind of, like, oh, look at me, I'm a man in a dress. Isn't this funny? Because isn't that weird?
He doesn't do, like, a Mrs. Doubtfire.
No. It's not Mrs. Brown's Boys or anything like that. He just kind of does his thing. And then it's obviously a dream. Like, all the dream sequences in this, like, are from the get-go. But still, you're just kind of like, I just don't really feel that, like, that Big Wes would have gone there with that.
I'm not... It's just not what he had in mind, necessarily. But, yeah, so with this, we've got, like, this weird fake-out where, like, the nurse is Bobby UK and then, like, turns around and is suddenly in full Freddy Krueger makeup. And then Kristen has a shock and wakes up, and then the nurse is, like, the real nurse, not played by Bobby UK, played by, you know, the real nurse.
Yeah.
But it's just, they didn't need to do that, because in the first film, there's that really effective moment where there's the hall monitor, who's another high school girl, who is, like, stopping them in the corridor, and then turns around and still played by this high school age actress, has the claw hand and is just like, see you soon. And that is more terrifying because it's like, oh, well, is Freddy sort of in, he's moving through other people. He's working through other people. He could kind of be anyone. Whereas this is it would have been scarier if it was just anyone's face, any other nurse, like, acting like Freddy, not having to have Bobby UK in a dress for us to be like, oh, that's scary. That is scary. It's not It's not Bobby UK's face that's scary. It's what Freddy Krueger represents, right?
Yes, indeed. So following this nurse scene, like, because Freddy kind of, like, pops up as the nurse and kind of goes, boo, at Kirsten, but that's kind of it. He doesn't kind of go for her. And then there's a little bit of an exposition party where they go to what is Freddy Krueger's old house. Like, they all go there with, like, the boyfriend and the jock and everything, and they kind of, like, do a little recap for everybody. We get to see Kirsten's shit mum again.
Oh, remember? Yeah,
like, her mum, like, in the last film was just, like, a super bitch, basically. Like, she was just kind of, like, unreasonable on every level, you know, and she's just, like, still ragging on her, being like, oh my god, why you're looking terrible, this is awful, we went over this in therapy. She's spiked her,
yeah, she spikes sleeping her pills. Like OJ with sleeping pills. And there's this really great line where Kristen's like, Freddy Krueger's been knocking off everyone who's ever met him, I'm the only one left, congratulations mother, you just murdered me.
Talk about that in therapy. Which is, yeah, that's good. That's some bit of sass.
Yeah, and there's this great shot, like, overhead shot of her running upstairs, and she's, like, falling asleep while she's running upstairs, and she's like, no, I've got to get to the phone. No, I got to make it. And she calls her best friend Alice.
Yes, and then she wakes up in a dream.
Because she asks Alice on the phone just before she falls asleep. She's like, you've got a dream of something good, Alice. You got a dream of something good.
Oh, yes, because then she wakes up on a tropical beach.
Yes, so Kristen wakes up in Alice's dream, right?
I guess so.
She does,
okay,
yeah.
Okay, yeah.
So she's in Alice's dream, which is a nice, happy dream with a tropical beach, unfortunately.
Unfortunately, a very bad Jaws parody is about to happen. Yeah, so we get the Freddy Clawhand shark fin that zooms through the water
with the, like, the blade stuck up in the air, yeah,
and then it flies through the sand into a sand castle, which explodes.
Kaboom!
Freddy Krueger then pops out, he appears from the sand castle and puts some sunglasses on. At which point, just everyone dies a little inside. And then Kirsten starts to sink in some quicksand. And Freddy just kind of stomps her down.
Yeah, this whole scene I didn't really get. Like,
and then she's dead. And there's this whole thing where people die in their dreams in this, but the way they die in their dreams is not reflected about how they die in real life, which is a bit in contrast to the first kill in the first film. You know, when the girl gets like dragged across the ceiling and she's blood and gore everywhere. In this, people just kind of go, oof, and then they're dead. Like, so when Kincaid died, after Freddy stabs him repeatedly in the stomach in the dream world, you see him kind of like go in his bed, and you're kind of like, did he just wake up? But then they're like, no, he died. It's a different way of doing it. It doesn't work quite as well because all the other films have had that thing, you know, he's cutting you in the dream world and you're cutting in real life.
Yeah, exactly. So there's this odd bit because Alice is there in the dream as well. She sees Freddy kill Kristen.
Yes, she gets pulled in.
And then he pulls his jumper up and he's got all these faces in the skin, under the skin of his chest, these human faces. And these are all the souls of all the people that Freddy's killed. And Kristen's face is in there. And the next shot after that is that Alice wakes up and there's this sort of plot point with her about this. She's got this mirror in her bedroom, which she's filled with all these photographs of her friends because she doesn't want to see her own face because she's such a wallflower.
Mm.
She wakes up from this horrible, horrible dream of Freddy killing her best friend and then revealing his chest with all these faces in it. And on the mirror is a new picture. It's a postcard.
Mm.
And it's Freddy and Kristen on the beach. And it says, "Greetings from hell." She goes, "No!"
Oh, yeah. And when Freddy stomped Kristen into the sand, she falls through the sand into his boiler room.
Oh, yeah.
And that is the point when she pulls Alice in. And Kristen gets thrown into the furnace by Freddy. And when this happens, Kristen gives Alice her power to pull people into dreams. So this becomes like an important point because basically Freddy was trying to goad Kristen into bringing, because she was the last one of the Elm Street children.
Yes.
Her parents, like, she was the last child of the parents that had killed Freddy.
That is correct.
And he is like, well, I want to carry on killing people because that's my biz. So he's like, well, you can pull people into the dreams. Get me somebody. And she's like, I don't want to do it. And then she pulls in Alice. And now Alice has the power. So now Freddy's going to pursue Alice to try and pull people into her dreams so he can kill them. It's a little bit flimsy. They had to find a reason for him to come back. But that's basically where we're at now. So then this second half of the film is Alice being like, I can't fall asleep because then I'll kill all of my mates.
Yeah.
They don't really do the whole, that whole fear of falling asleep is not done as well. It's not as strong a plot point.
They
in
do
this.
Do it. It's just not really communicated correctly. Yeah.
I think because that was like in the earlier films, that's part of the horror of it. That's part of the scary thing.
Yeah.
The whole thing of trying to force yourself to do something your body is trying to tell you to do the opposite, and that is a little bit more on the back burner.
Totes.
You feeling me? How are you doing? Are you still with me?
I'm feeling you.
You're feeling me. All right.
So yeah. Then,
so okay. All right, baby. So what happens? What happens next?
Well, they have Kristen's funeral, and she is buried right next to Nancy.
Hmm.
Our heroine from the first film who died at the end of the third film.
That's where they put them all.
They just stick them all in the same little plot of land.
Yeah.
And then
but then who cares? Because Nerd Girl's back.
Nerd Girl's back! And everybody loves Nerd Girl!
And it's test time, baby. Nerd Girl has made her own bug taser for some reason. It's like a taser, but for bugs.
That's it.
And they've got a big test, and she falls asleep in the test, and then Freddy's going to kill her.
This massive robot hand. Yep. Like, so Nurgle falls asleep in the test. This big robot hand comes out of the desk.
And grabs her face.
Grabs her by the face. It's not a Freddy hand. It's just a cyborgy robot hand.
Is it because she's a nerd? And that's what nerds like?
Nerds like robots, I suppose. But
then Freddy does show up.
And he says, "Want to suck face?"
And he gives her a big old smooch. And just sucks all of her innards out. And she kind of... She turns into a balloon that is just slowly being deflated, and it's gone all wrinkly and gross. That's what she ends up like.
This is my favourite bit in the film. It's so gross. He just sucks all of her innards out through her mouth in this big, horrible, endless kiss.
Yeah.
Have you ever kissed someone where it's just they're too intense
about it? It's just too much.
You just just let it happen naturally. Freddy.
This is the second creepy, by my count, creepy Freddy kiss that we've had in one of these films, because in the second film we had the big Freddy tongue.
Oh, yeah. Blah, 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 blah.
And then it just... The thing is, this point now where Alice has Kristen's powers and, the new batch of, Saved by the Bell, the new class are now going to get killed by Freddy, is... The problem with it is they've introduced these characters, and we have now the people who we're worried about getting killed, we have spent literally no time with in the film whatsoever. So now oh no, now we're worried about Dan the jock and the girl with the big hair.
Oh yeah.
They were really, I was really attached to them. They killed Nerd Girl. I've checked out now. I don't give a fuck about any of them.
Yeah. So we go through this whole bit of Alice's personality kind of transforming so that she can become a bit more of a hero. And she practices the nunchucks, right?
Well, she practices the nunchucks because her brother Rick gets killed by Freddy in an invisible kung fu fight.
I forgot all about the invisible kung fu.
Rick is kind of I think there might be something to this Freddy Krueger business. And then he falls asleep. And, there was this ridiculous scene earlier where he's, in the basement practicing, karate or, kung fu or something. And he's, got nunchucks and everything. And I'm sure at the time, in, 1988, this was being presented as, this guy is really cool. He's listening to, new wave post-punk while doing kung fu. This guy's the most rocking shit you've ever seen. But now in 2017, me and Todd are this guy is the biggest douchebag I've ever seen in my entire life.
Oh, how times change.
So then he has this fight where he actually kind of manages to fight an invisible Freddy Krueger fairly effectively, but then gets killed. Then Alice takes his kung fu bandana and his nunchucks, and suddenly she's really good at it. It's she's absorbed his power. And then Big Hair Girl, she dies.
In the weirdest way.
Todd, could you do the honours on this one? Because it's fucking weird.
It's super duper weird. So how does it begin? So Fred...
She's pumping iron.
She's pumping iron. Thank you, Tommy. Big Hair Girl is pumping iron in her little home gym, and Freddy shows up to spot her, right? And he kind of pushes her arms back while she's lifting up these weights, these dumbbells, and he snaps her elbows. Ooh, they just kind of just snap, and they her forearms fall off, and you're like, oh no, but how's she gonna lift weights though? Well, she don't got any arms though, and she can't lift weights, is the thing, because she's just going, oh no, how am I going to lift weights though? I don't got any arms though.
But what does she have instead of arms now?
Well, because this is the thing, it's to begin with just stumps, and when the legs, the arms fall off the legs with the arms, and they fall off, and on the floor, they're all really floppy, they got no bone in them. And then these little black, spiky, hairy tendrils start to come out of her arm stumps. And they're cockroach legs, because there was this one really insignificant scene near the start of the film where she trod on a cockroach. And so it's like
revenge. And so it's like, oh my God, I'm turning into the one thing I hate.
Yeah, she looks at them and goes, oh, but those are cockroach arms though. I don't like cockroaches. And then she's running away. And like these cockroach arms are just like flapping around because they're just made of rubber.
Yeah, this is the bit where I was kind of like, I can't tell if this is really good or really shit, because like the kind of the body horror kind of element of it is kind of like, this is fucked up.
Oh, it's Kafkaesque.
But those arms are very floppy.
They are rubbery.
Yeah.
And so she runs runs along, and like she's like the arms are growing, and she's like extra cockroach arms are coming out of her side. Suddenly somehow she's ended up in this sort of weird big black space with one big window at the end. Doesn't really make any sense. She starts to turn more and more into a cockroach.
She falls over.
Oh. The floor's all sticky. Her face sticks to the floor, and when she tries to get back up, the skin peels off her face and she is a cockroach beneath. She looks around, there's other cockroaches around. And then the big window, there's one giant eye in it. And the camera zooms out and she's inside a roach motel. And Freddy's there looking in, being like, you'll check in, but you won't check out.
And he squishes her.
She squishes her and she goes, oh no, I've been squished.
Deed. She's dead.
She's dead.
That is a weird old scene.
It's weird.
Weird, mate.
It's weird.
I think at this point, this was when Alice and the jock were running to try and save her. There was a confrontation between Alice and Freddy, where Freddy basically spells out his plans, like, I'm going to get you to bring me some more people to kill. At which point he eats a pizza, which has, like, you know, like what Todd said about, like, the souls that are all in his chest? Instead, they're on a big old slice.
They're just trapped under the mozzarella cheese.
All the meatballs are, like, going, no, free me. Which is kind of like, again, kind of a bit like the cockroach thing. Kind of scary, kind of goofy.
It's nice. I like the idea that Freddy is, like, eating souls.
Yeah.
Don't do it in a pizza.
Yeah, that was weird.
And then there's this extra cool twist that the waitress is played in the pizza restaurant where Freddy's eating the pizza and he's explaining his plan to Alice. Mm. The waitress in that restaurant is played by the same actress as Alice.
Just old,
in
aged
old
up.
Makeup. And she's got like a little name tag that says Alice. Mm. And like old Alice says to young Alice, can you hurry up there with your order? Like, I don't have much time left.
Yeah.
Doesn't really mean anything. No. It's just a
nice dream imagery. And then, so then Freddy goes off to kill the big hair girl. And then Alice is like, I got to get the jock guy and we got to go and save her. And then it turns out that they're both asleep. That, like, they, while big hair girl is getting killed, Alice and the jock are on like a loop. They leave in the car to go and try and save her about three or four times, which is quite a cool new little twist that, like, he's able to manipulate time.
It's a really nice wrinkle, yeah. So Alice, like, runs to the truck and is like, she's like, quick, get in the truck, drive, we gotta go save him. And then they drive and then they get to the building where Big Hair Girl is, and then Alice runs out and runs towards the building, and then the camera cuts and then she's running back the other way into the car and goes, quick, drive, we gotta go, and it goes around three times.
And they figure it out eventually what's going on.
I read that originally Wes Craven had suggested a fourth sequel that would be, the entire film was going to be about like time travel and how Freddy Krueger found a way to like affect people's dreams in the past to try and change the present.
Okay, that sounds weird.
Which does sound weird, right?
Yeah.
They didn't go that route, but this kind of maybe gives us a little bit of a glimpse of what that might have been like.
And then Freddy like jumps out in front of their car, goes bleh, car crash.
Yeah.
The jock goes in, gets really fucked up in the car crash, and he gets taken to the hospital and has to go and have an operation. And then Alice is like, fuck, they're going to put him under. Freddy can get him there. So he's like, when is his operation? They're like, in 15 minutes. They're like, right, I've got 15 minutes to go and get badass. So she runs home and you get a tooling up kind of montage. So it's like in like Rambo 2, when like you get the bit where he's putting on the bandana, he's pulling out the knife, he's lacing up his boots, you know, that kind of like, you know, like bam, 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 shot after shot of like, how am I going to get myself super like pumped up and like badass for this fight? And that's what you get with her, where she's kind of like strapping on things and putting on leather jackets and popping the collar. And she's got like Big Hair Girl studded wristband. She's got Nerd Girl's bug zapper. She's got her brother's like kung fu bandana and all this kind of biz. And then she kind of goes like, looks in the mirror and goes, fuck yeah, or something. What does she say?
She says, fucking A.
Yes.
And all through this, there's the most amazing music. It's just a really like pure late 80s guitar solo.
I don't know if she falls asleep or not, but she just jumps through her mirror and is suddenly in Freddy's spooky dreamland.
It's a big spooky tube.
Oh, yeah, she goes into a big spooky tube.
He's just got her trapped in a big spooky tube. That's it. It's just a tube.
And then she ends up in a big spooky church.
That's what's at the end of the tube.
And then we have the final confrontation. The spooky church... It looks cool, but I was kind of like, it's just a big spooky church. It doesn't really have any significance to either of these characters. But they have a fight, and this is the point where I'm just kind of like, this film is just kind of, it's functioning. It's not terrible, but it's not great. It's just kind of doing what it needs to. And this seems like a bit of a dull finale. There's a bit of like, boo! There's a bit like she kung fu kicks Freddy a lot and he just kind of goes and just laughs a lot. And then it gets really bad when Freddy's going to try and get her with his razor hand. And then she's kind of like, she's got like an itchy trigger finger, like she's a gunslinger in a Western. And then she does the thing that we were obviously all expecting her to do, is that she reaches into a wall and pulls out a massive electrical cable, which of course we all knew was in there. She plugs it into the back of Nerd Girl's bug zapper and shoots a Ghostbusters-esque like beam of energy through Freddy Krueger's chest.
It's a really dodgy effect.
And it's just kind of like, really? That was your... Like, a lot of the things in this, like, you know, like, you don't want to see everything coming, but, you know, like, you get an idea of how something's going to go, and you're just kind of like, I didn't expect her to go Ghostbusters with Nerd Girl's bug zapper. And then Freddy's like, don't faze me, son. I'm proper naughty. I'm not having it. And then...
This whole sequence for me is odd because it should be the most tense sequence. There's no sense of threat from Freddy. He's just lingering around and he's just going, I'm proper naughty.
Yeah, he doesn't try like, and also, swing
he
for
never
her.
Tries to hurt her. Obviously, she's the final girl, so we know that she's safe.
Mm.
But he doesn't even really, like, menace her or anything.
He's just standing
he's
around
just
too much.
He's standing there while she's taking swings at him. She'll, like, try and kick him. She'll try and punch him. He stands around and laughs at her. It's just there's no...
And she's inexplicably gotten too good at kung fu.
Yes, exactly.
So, like, she's suddenly too capable and he is suddenly, like, non-threatening because he's not really doing any... He's just kind of standing there. You know that he's capable of something, but it's just a very flat bit. But then, at the end of all this, like, one of the best things in any of the Friday the...
Fuck! Mate! Pound in the jar! You did it
Nightmare.
Again. It's not Friday the 13th.
Stupid long-winded horror movie titles. I'm grumpy now, Todd. Some stupid shit happens. I don't care anymore.
Mate, you're going to have to talk us through it, buddy. Just pop a quid in there and we'll redeem it next time.
Okay, fine. So then, Freddy Krueger. You know he had all those souls in his chest?
Oh, yeah.
They all explode out of him.
Yes!
Like, suddenly his body is, like, overrun with, like, little baby arms that are, like, grabbing him and pulling at him, and they cling to the walls and pin him. They pin him against the wall.
Imagine his whole skin was a rubber glove, like a latex rubber glove, but then somehow you'd stuff too many fingers inside the rubber glove, and those extra fingers were like coming out of the palm of the glove and the back part of the hand of the glove. That's like his whole body with all these arms coming out of it, but they're like stretching the skin.
And then all the faces are kind of like going up against the skin, going and stretching up. And then for some reason, there's a lady in there with some boobies that gets pressed up against Freddy Krueger's skin. And you're kind of like, I don't think we needed to sex this scene up. I don't think that this was really... I think that was just a little, that was just like a little bit too much garnish on the scene. I was just happy with the horror. I just, you know, you're not kind of like, ooh, grotesque boobs.
Something for the dads.
God, yeah. So apart from that, like, it's like this awesomely gross, creepy scene. And they like, oh, claw all the souls. Like, we've had enough of you, Freddy. And they crawl out of him to the point that like, his head kind of splits in half and he explodes. And then...
So what's this rhyme? What's this Dream Master rhyme? Oh, did she say it or
that anything? That was how she killed him, because he was about to kill her because her Ghostbusters thing didn't work. And then this is the bit when she remembers that rhyme that no one said at all in the film. Like, I think that a load of spooky girls appear in, like, in the church and say the rhyme. And the rhyme has something to do with, like, if evil sees its own face.
The master of dreams must soul-fire keep. In the reflection of my mind's eye,
evil will see itself.
And it shall die!
And so she holds up a mirror to Freddy. And then Freddy looks at his face. And he's kind of like, oh, I'm proper ugly. And then he dies. It's a bit, I mean, that is weak.
The
MacGuffin of the Dream Master is weak sauce.
I have been drinking, but that whole thing passed me by.
Mm.
Like, I had no clue.
It's 30 seconds of the film, and it's in the, and but it's the title of the film. Yeah, that.
Why?
I don't know. I guess they probably, like, must have just been like, guys, you, the, why? They were just like about to shoot it and they were like, has anyone read this? It doesn't really, how do we beat Freddy in this? A rhyme and a bit of mirror.
Well, in the
how
first
about that?
Film.
How about, that's a satisfying finish.
Here's the problem. In the first film, they beat him by turning their back on him.
Mm.
They turned
and
their
then
back.
That didn't work though.
Well, it didn't work, but it got, well, that's true. That's true. All right,
he came back.
It didn't work. He did come back. He did come back for at least two more movies.
So, and then, but like, so it's a very up and down like finale. There's some great stuff, and there's some not so great stuff, and the film's just kind of done. Like,
there's a little addendum scene. Yeah, Alice and Dan the Jock. They go for a little walk around by a fountain. And everything's fine. And there's this one little shot where, like, Alice sits down on a fountain and you see in the water reflected behind her, Freddy's reflection. He's there as well. But then nothing happens. Then they just walk off.
Yeah, it's a little bit of, goes out with a bit of a whimper. And, I mean, that's kind of, this film is very much peaks and troughs. Like, there's some, like, yeah, like, that end bit with Freddy and all the boiling people inside him is great. But then you've got, like, the beach scene. If just, like I said, I don't think it's terrible. I just think it just doesn't really ever get up and running, this movie.
5.7 feels a little generous.
Yeah, I could go down a little bit on that. But, you know, we've seen worse. So it was cool. I mean, what's the next one?
The next one is The Dream Child.
So what do you think that's going to be?
Well, I've seen the poster. Mm. So, Tom, you and I grew up in the same town.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember the old Burger King by the clock tower?
I do.
Yeah. Okay. Listeners at home, I'm specifically talking about the clock tower in central Brighton, Sussex, of the southern portion of the UK. There used to be this Burger King around when Tom and I were growing up. And this didn't seem to be true of all Burger Kings, but this Burger King was cinema themed.
Mm.
Okay. So I think it's because that building used to be a cinema.
Okay.
Way back in our parents' generation. And someone had decided that this Burger King would be full of movie posters. in a way that not all Burger Kings were. Now, I remember going to a children's party in that Burger King when I was a small, tiny child, and walking around and looking at all the film posters. And I'd not really been to the cinema that much. And one of the posters was for A Nightmare on Elm Street 5, The Dream Child.
Okay.
And I think I saw that poster before I knew, before any other Nightmare on Elm Street poster, basically. I think that was my first introduction to the character. And I remember it as being a pram, like a baby's pram, with like spooky backlighting and Freddy Krueger's like face like lurking above it. But he's not like menacing the baby. He's doing like a, that, this isn't going to work well on audio medium. You know that thing where you hold your finger up to your lips and go like, shh.
Right,
like, don't wake the baby, like, shh.
I see.
He's doing that. Like, it's his baby, I guess?
Yeah, I mean, my guess was going to be that this is going to be, like, a horror version of Three Men and a Little Baby. and that it's, like, Freddy and two other, like, undead mass murderers have to adopt a baby.
And Freddy, Jason, and Michael Myers.
Yeah, it's the three of them. They share a bachelor pad. They've got to look after the baby, but they all keep on trying to murder the baby as well. But then they always, like, you know, like, Freddie will be about to murder the baby, and then Jason and Michael will come in and be like, hey, we told you not to do that. And then he'll be like, okay. And then one of the other ones will try and kill the baby, and hilarity will ensue.
Yeah.
I reckon that's probably
that
it.
That sounds way better than what we're probably going to get.
Yeah, I mean, I could definitely go for some Ted Danson and Tom Selleck. Wait, Gutenberg in that?
Yes,
as well?
Gutenberg. So I'm going to say that I think Ted Danson is Freddy. I think we can agree. I think that Tom Selleck is Michael Myers.
Okay. And you think Goots is Gutenberger is Jason?
I think so. He's got that kind of slightly lumpy head, right?
Yeah. Okay, so he'd be like part nine.
Yeah.
Jason. Like, Takes Manhattan Jason or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, nice. Okay.
In reality, I think that the Dream Child, which I'm basing off of a 25-year-old memory of a poster
Arquette's
I saw
baby.
In a Burger King.
Do you think that to like get revenge on Patricia Arquette for not being in the last one, they stole her baby and put her in a film? Fuck.
You might be onto something. I was just going to say that I basically think it's going to be Ghostbusters 2, where you've got the villain in the painting inexplicably wants that baby.
Okay.
I think we're just looking at that.
I mean, okay. But the best thing about Ghostbusters 2 that's definitely not going to be in this is the biscuit from Ally McBeal going, we go, like with the guy with like the improbable European accent. Like,
but they even make a joke about that. They're like, where are you from exactly? And he goes, the Upper West Side.
Yeah, I know, I love that. That's great. But I don't think he's going to be in this next film. So we can only be disappointed that we don't have the biscuit, Gutenberg, Selleck, or what's his name?
Danson. I've never seen Ally McBeal. There's a character called The Biscuit.
I mean, I haven't really seen Ally. I just know that that was kind of what he was. It was his nickname. I don't think he was an actual biscuit. I don't know.
You're spinning me out, Tom.
No,
was he an actual biscuit or not? I need to know.
I don't know. I'm only going with a very passing. Like,
you're
you
telling
know,
me you cannot guarantee that this guy wasn't an actual biscuit.
I cannot say that it was not a plot point at some point in like maybe the third season.
You're killing me.
I'm doing my best.
Blah.
So I think that's about us at the bitter end. Thanks for showing up. We'll hopefully be back next time, assuming that Todd does not sort of melt into some sort of puddle of goo.
I'm fine.
Okay, he's fine. It's okay, folks. So, yeah. You know, like all that stuff that people say at the end of podcasts? Like us on Facebook, Twitter, send us a message. We love that.
Can you remember the handles, Tom?
It's at Bitter End Pod on the FB and the tweets. And
way to go.
iTunes, that's a cool thing as well. You could leave us a review on there, like 5 stars or up, that'd be pretty banging. Drop us a line. We'll see you next time. I'm Tom Denny. He's what's left of Todd Jordan.
I'm fine. He's fine. We'll see you soon.